In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text is our gospel reading from Matthew chapter 3, the ministry and the proclamation of John the Baptist. This season is filled with hope. It is filled with joy. It is filled with expectation, in a good way, right? And even those words that I use could be taken in a secular sense, couldn't they? Hope, especially among the children, what will I get this Christmas? Joy. Well, I don't know about you, I'm not one that when I walk into Target, I get joy from the Christmas music there. I kind of think it's like a Pavlovian thing. Oh, I hear that. Oh, I better buy something. I heard the right carol. Nevertheless, there is joy of a sort in the world this season. And there is hope. There is hope not only for the things I get under the Christmas tree, but also that perhaps 2023 will be a better year than 2022 was. Until you think back and you remember about a year ago, you were thinking the same thing. But the one word that we hear every year, but almost pay no attention to during the season, is repent. Repent. But isn't that exactly what John the Baptist's ministry was about? To repent. Now, I suppose if we all wrote down our definition of what repentance is, we might come up with, I don't know, however many definitions there are among us. Some of us might think about the guy on the street corner with the sign. And if you're like me and of a certain age, you think of the cartoon strip BC and a guy in a loincloth with that very same sign. Perhaps when you think of the word repentance, you think of great sorrow, sackcloth and ashes, and burying yourself in your own grief on account of your sin. Perhaps repentance means to you looking back upon your past and the decisions that you made that you regret. I'm certainly not in the camp of those who say, I have nothing to regret. I have done nothing wrong. I kind of think that you haven't reached a certain maturity until you can look back and say, oh yeah, I have. I've done many things wrong. Again, that can even be done in the secular world, can't it? To regret or rue things. Wish you had said something different, done something different. It's part of being a mature human being. So you have all those definitions of repentance in your mind, and you think, well, what does John mean by repentance? He means that repentance is preparing the way of the Lord and making his paths straight. And he tells those who are eventually going to be the enemies of Jesus himself, you need to bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Literally, if you were to dissect the word, repentance means a change of mind, you know, a shifting. But that doesn't really do it, does it? You know, I might get to the store and say, you know, I was going to make that with butter, but I think I'll change my mind and make it with margarine instead. The taste will be a little different, but that's all right. Well, that's not really a repenting. It's probably better to think of repentance as I'm going down the road. And let's say I'm going to Kansas City. I have no idea why, but I'm going to Kansas City. And suddenly I look at the sign and it says, I-70 East. And I think to myself, I've made a huge mistake. What do I do? Well, probably have to find an exit, cross over the road and come back. Or maybe, if I'm in a hurry, I try to find one of those places that the police use and just do a quick turn. I realize I've been going the wrong way, and I have to do something about it. Now, this may be a little bit toward the blasphemous, but think about that sign that says I-70 East, as John the Baptist's call. You're going the wrong way. Turn around. That gets it. But it's not you're going the wrong way on an interstate. that you're going the wrong way with your life. And believe me, there are lots of wrong ways, aren't there? Jesus himself said it. There are many roads. Broad is the road that leads to destruction, and there are many who go down it, but narrow is the path, and few find that narrow way to life. And that narrow way is through repentance. You do it by examining your life. And recall that for the church, maybe you were old enough to remember that. I see you say that a lot. You're old enough. Remember when this color in Advent was not blue but purple? How many of you remember that? What's that purple for? It's a royal color, but in the church it means repentance. And Advent was seen as a little Lent, right? Not 40 days, but Lent. It gives you a chance to think once again on your sin and what you've done and how you need to turn. And every one of us needs to do it. And it may be for a variety of different reasons. Because if we're going to Kansas City, yeah, we might be on I-70 going east, but we might be on I-64, and we might be on I-55, or we might be on some two-lane road, some state highway somewhere, and they're all the wrong direction. And so it is that we need to repent because of our own overweening pride. We just know we're right all the time, except that one time when I thought I was wrong, but I was mistaken. Or we may be smug or self-righteous. It seems to be an accusation that's going around a lot in these days with younger generations. You know, they're so prideful. They have so much hubris. Oh, they're headed for a fall. Well, I think if you feel that way, okay, fine and good, but go ahead and look in the mirror first. There might be a log there too, right? So pride can be one of those things. Smugness, arrogance. There are other things as well. A focus on yourself to the exclusion of others, even if you feel poorly about yourself. And this is a tricky one, right? I feel so bad about myself, I just have to focus on myself all the time and dwell in my misery and taste my misery and find those bittersweet tears. It's almost like that ring in the Lord of the Rings that you have to pet it and stroke it, and it's just part of you. That's a possible thing for which you need to repent. There are all sorts of other things, too. I knew a man once who was a sociopathic liar. I think I maybe have told you about this gentleman. I visited with him quite a number of times in his jail cell. And he, even when he had the opportunity to tell the truth about a thing, he wouldn't do it. Even if telling the truth would be to his advantage, he wouldn't do it. Because for whatever reason, he was locked in to that. What are you locked into? Think about it for a while. We are all supposed to love our families, but do we love them above the Lord our God? That would be a good thing we love, and yet we're making a mistake. We need repentance because we need to get those priorities right. You can just look back over the last week and think. There's something there that John's words apply to. And so the season of Advent is not to take away the other themes, right? Not to take away the hope and the joy and the expectation. But it is also a good time to get our bearings and say, you know, I tend to live my life as if I counted the most and the Lord did not count at all. And this is an opportunity, whether it's in Sunday service, a Wednesday evening, during daily devotions, to say, I need to turn. And I need to turn back. I need to turn back to the Lord. Now, so far, we focused on repentance as finding the place where you've gone wrong, the road where you are, and realizing I'm going the wrong way. But what is the right way? John talks about that too. He talks about the one who is coming, the one who is coming in judgment. And you know he's referring to Jesus Christ. And judgment is exactly what Jesus brings. Again, we don't normally think this way, do we? When we think of Christmas, we think of that wonderful baby in the manger, the little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. Not true, but okay. We don't tend to think of him as the Lord who comes to judge the living and the dead. But he is. And if you listen to Jesus preach, especially in the Gospel of Matthew, these very words, repent and believe, for the kingdom of God is here. That's his message too, to turn, but to turn to him. And why turn to him? There are lots of preachers of repentance, aren't there, including John and Isaiah, whom we heard from earlier, and all sorts of other folks who told the people to do that. Well, the reason is because Jesus is God in the flesh, God who takes upon himself our human nature, who suffers and dies and bears the sin of the world, including your sins, this Advent. And having them borne them to death, he can say to you, your sin is forgiven. You are now on the right path. Believe in me. Trust me, and your sins will be forgiven and put away from you, so that you can live through the Advent part of the year, not denying part of yourself, but confessing it. Not living under the guilt of sin, but under the joy of forgiveness. Not living in the hopelessness of this world, but with the hope of eternal life. And so it turns out that repentance is not a foreign concept for this time of the year, but really it's heart and soul. That does not mean we ought to change the colors back to purple, put on our long faces and our sackcloth and ashes. It just means that we are mindful. Mindful that the baby who is born, the one who is to come, and is to come again, has come for our salvation. And that our attitude toward him ought to be one of repentance. Now, in its broadest sense, the theologians will tell us that the word repentance is not just simply turning around in the sense that I've made a huge mistake, I got to do something about it, but it also includes what we are turning for. It includes faith in Jesus Christ. And that's where we need to be, isn't it? That's where we always need to be, trusting him. I am trusting thee, Lord Jesus. Trusting only thee. For you see, in those words about judgment that John the Baptist talks about when Jesus comes, his winnowing fork is in his hand and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. We think about that as the thing that is to come in the future, and that is right. But it has also happened. On the cross, Jesus bore the judgment of God. In a way, we could say he was found to be chaff because he was bearing our sin. And he was burned with the unquenchable fire of hell. A more classic way of saying it, he has said, he drank the cup of God's wrath to its very dregs. And it is for that reason that we rejoice and we have joy. It is for that reason that we have relief from anxiety and guilt. It is for that reason that the color is okay to be a color of hope. God grant you repentance this Advent season, this whole church repentance, so that with joy we may receive him who has come to be the Savior of the world. Amen.